Y'all in for a treat. Last time we did this, remember we had two stools that were different heights. I got a little jealous because Jeff was up on the high stool and he's already 10 feet taller than me. So we swapped.
We did.
And then my feet wouldn't touch the ground. So we're going to try.
You need me to boost you up?
Well, I might. Square this thing up.
It's a good thing we get along. That's all I'm saying.
It really is. It really is. Hey, guys, that was a great praise service. Thank you.
Didn't the kids do great?
Young
kids
people,
did great, didn't
great
they?
Great job, man. And, you know, speaking of young people, we've got a special young person home with us today.
Yes, we do.
Your son, Noah, had a birthday.
It's today, actually.
Today. Happy birthday, Noah. And probably the biggest surprise for him and, I think, for Mom and Dad, too, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it's a girl.
It's a girl. Oh, boy, we are not going there. Big surprise for his birthday and to Mom and Dad, grand folks.
We're in on it.
They were in on it?
Yes. I don't like my mother anymore.
But Tiana snuck home. Tiana, where are you? Good to have her back this weekend.
She didn't bring the Texas weather with her, though,
no,
that's
she
for
didn't.
Sure.
And she's grown another foot.
Well, don't tell her that.
My
don't tell
goodness.
Her that. Oh, boy.
She will be a star. Hey, you know, somebody, we were singing Come Let Us Adore Him, and they talked about Christmas already. We ain't even had Halloween. I said, look, if Big Lots can do it, so can we.
That's right. That's right.
We were at Big Lots yesterday. That's where all the saints go.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm lying, I'm dying, okay? A fourth of Big Lots is already set up for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trick-or-treat candy's already half priced.
So you bought some of that?
I did. Speaking of Halloween, trick-or-treat and all that stuff, this year, Muhammad Christian Church was represented.
We were.
In the Villages trunk-or-treat.
Yes, we were.
On Main Street Friday night.
Yes, we were.
And guess what?
What?
We got first place.
First place.
Dixie, Sandy.
Dixie, yep.
Dixie, Sandy, George, Mike, they were out there in the freezing weather and passed out candy to over 1,200, 1,600 kids.
Woo.
From all over the world, it seemed like. Now, if you're on Facebook, you may have already seen some of the pictures from that trunk or treat. But something you didn't see in that was the number of children that wanted their picture taken with our Alice in Wonderland characters. And I'm proud to say that the Queen did not lop off anybody's head. And that may have been because of the intervention of Mike and Sandy, because at one point she was ready to lop off George's head. But as you can see, he still has it there with him.
And all intact, yeah.
And the King of Hearts, or Queen of Hearts, was there as well. And but thank you, guys. We were well represented in first place. That's pretty impressive. Another way of getting our name out. There's something a little different about today, as you can tell.
Little.
Little?
Little.
We're both preaching.
Yep.
No,
yep.
This big flag back here behind us, most of you know what that means. This coming weekend is our living flag. I cannot say thank you enough to the many people who helped get this part done. We have some other little things yet to do, and one more big part.
Yes, I agree.
And John Miller is heading up once again, putting the lights on this flag, and they'll be starting on that tomorrow night at 6:30. So if you would like to help with that, show up over here tomorrow night, 6:30, and they'll help this living flag not only come alive, but light up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty impressive.
Yep.
So, a lot going on and a lot more in your bulletin there to be aware of.
We have one more thing we have to do, though.
Okay.
You know, October's been Pastor Appreciation Month.
It has.
And I've been appreciated. How about you?
I have been over-appreciated.
So, from my stomach and my heart, thank you. It has been, you guys, outpouring again.
Absolutely.
The generosity has been amazing.
Absolutely.
And the cards. Oh, my gosh, the cards.
I think. I've cried more than once.
Once, yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of like us. Either that
they're
or they're
really
just trying
good.
To build us up for something.
Or
but
they were meant to go somewhere else and they came here. But we really do feel your love. And it just, I don't know about you, and we'll talk about this, but that just excites me more.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It
regenerates.
I love you guys,
yeah.
And I love serving the Lord through this church.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Thank you for your appreciation.
Yep.
Well, we are going to preach it today once again. We did this several months back. Mm-hmm. And someone said, well, what happened? Did neither one of you have enough to fill a sermon? I said, no, not exactly. This is one of those things, you know, we do a lot of back and forth on a lot of our sermons. And this was one that just kind of flowed so well. It's like, you know, we need to both, mm-hmm. we need to do this, share this. And I'm honored to share this pulpit with you this morning, Jeff. Our reading has brought us into Hebrews, and today we're going to look together, ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 10. We're going to look at 10 and 11 kind of together today, but turn in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, and look with me there at beginning at verse number 1. We're going to be talking about in Christ something better. Mm-hmm. Now, we sang several songs mm-hmm. that just fits this text so beautifully. And we want to share that with you. So, Hebrews chapter 10, look with me beginning at verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Okay? Keep that in mind. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are annual reminders of sin because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, and remember, anytime you see a therefore in Scripture, see what it's there for. Because of these annual and weekly and daily sacrifices that went along with their law. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. And then the Hebrew writer elaborates a little bit on that. And he says in verse 9, the last part of verse 9, he sets aside the first to establish the second. He sets aside the first, which was the law, all that sacrificing, that whole sacrificial system, to make room or to establish the second. And by that will, this second covenant we have now, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
You don't get any better than that.
No.
You just don't get any better than that. Day after day, he says, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices. But when this priest, and who is this priest? Who's this priest? Jesus. When this priest had offered for all one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He's done. He doesn't have to go back tomorrow and do it again.
That's right.
Doesn't have to go back next year, do it again.
Nope.
Doesn't have to do it next week, next month. Once and it's done.
Amen.
For all.
For all.
You don't get any better than that. Verse 18. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Now, Jeff, I did some restudying on the sacrificial system.
Mm-hmm.
There are many sacrifices in the Old Testament under the law, but there are five main types of sacrifices that they were to give all the time in the Old Testament. The burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Of those, three were voluntary. You didn't have to do them all the time, but three were voluntary. The first was the burnt offering. It was a voluntary act of worship to express your devotion and commitment to God. Something great happened in your life. You were blessed. You had a child, whatever it might be, or they grew up and went off to college, and you know, you had a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are still thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then they come back. But so you would offer a burnt offering to God. It's just, it's something great's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And And then there would be the second voluntary offer was the grain offering. Now that was usually a gift from the field, or you would bake it into a cake or something and take it to the temple. The priests would get to keep part of that for themselves. But that was an offering that expressed thanksgiving, unmerited goodwill that God had blessed you with. And the third voluntary offering was the peace offering. That also was a thanksgiving and offering that was followed by a meal. You just, all throughout, God says, don't forget to give thanks.
Amen.
Don't remember that every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. You know, give Him thanks. How many times do we give just thanksgiving? How many ways do we share it and express it? Again, these were voluntary, but there were two mandatory offerings. The sin offering, and the purpose of that, of course, was to atone for one's sins, etc. Offering bulls and goats and other things on the altar. And the Hebrew writer tells us, but you know, that couldn't do it.
Nope.
And so they had to keep doing it every year, every week. Every day the priests were in the temple doing their duty because that just couldn't quite do it. Didn't matter how good a life you lived, it just basically rolled it back. But then there was a trespass offering. And that was an offering for unintentional sins. You were driving too fast down the road and you hit one of your neighbor's cows in your Ferrari and you have to offer a trespass sin, something like that. But those went on and on and on forever. I don't know about you, but can you imagine? It's a never-ending thing. And it never really accomplished what you were shooting for.
Temporary,
that
yeah.
forgiveness.
Yeah.
And you could live as good a life as you wanted. And be very faithful. And keep all the sacrifices. And keep as many of the laws as you want. And somehow you'd still just come up short. We have any examples of that in the Scripture?
Well, the amazing thing is God does put examples in the Scripture.
Sure He does.
Right over one chapter. If you just go over to chapter 11 in Hebrews there, you'll see examples of faith and living by faith. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you please do when you get home. But look at Hebrews 11, 4 through 31. He names 10 individuals who were like Abel and Noah and Abraham. But they all receive at least a line or two in here. From the author of Hebrews, illustrating their faith. And then you go a little farther, Hebrews 11:32. It's another six individuals who are named, from Gideon to Samson to David. However, the exploits of the faith of these believers, they're not really explored in here. He doesn't really take the time to do it. And then he also lists some individuals like the people of Israel and the prophets. He just throws out all the prophets out there. And you can look at those names. Look at Samson, man of faith. A little egotistical.
Yeah.
Got a few issues. But when push came to shove, it came down to God. Noah, man of faith. I mean, anybody who builds an ark and gets laughed at by his neighbors must be...
Yeah, without even a lake around.
Without a lake around or nothing. Yeah, it's not like he built it
on... That's like Robert Schuller building a glass cathedral in an earthquake zone.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's faith.
That's faith. You got that. I mean, Abraham. Faith up and down that story from, you know, sacrifice of the son, willing to do it.
Wow.
Trusted God, knowing that he would take care of it. Joseph. Oh, man. One of my favorite stories. Joseph.
Yes.
All kinds of faith there as far as getting through all the trials, from being shoved down a big hole by his brothers to slavery to being stuck in prison to then being number two.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of faith moments there with him. And your list goes on. You got Moses in there. You got Sarah in there. David, you're in there. Well, no. King David's in there. And his faith. But the thing about all of those, if you look at all of those, it comes down to two verses in there. Two verses in there. 39 and 40 of chapter 11. If you look at those two verses, it says, they were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains. I'm sorry, that was 38. Hiding in caves and holes in the grounds. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith.
Yes.
Yet none of them received all that God had promised. Came up short. They lived a faithful life. Very faithful life in the end. And they didn't get all God has promised. For God had something better and mine for us, so that we would not reach, so that they would not reach perfection without us. What's that something better, Pastor David?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. They had seen all kinds of promises that God had fulfilled in their lifetimes.
Yes.
And they had heard about the Messiah. They knew about the Messiah. But they never had a chance to receive it because they passed away before Jesus came back. It was all before that. But they knew of it. They were looking forward to it. They had hope.
They
would get to see it. They
anticipated it.
But God had something better in mind.
And that something better is what we're going to talk about. But in that list, I want to share something that caught my eye. You know, it talks about all these great people of faith that we almost consider Bible superheroes.
Yes.
But did you notice? Did you notice right there in the middle of it was Rahab?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be a big biblical superhero to be pleasing to God.
No.
You just need to be obedient.
Yeah.
And that includes you and me. We could be on that list. In fact, I hope we are on that list of people who are living by faith. You with me?
And that was kind of my one thing. Look at all these legends of faith, but yet God had something better for us.
Something better. For us. For us.
For us. And that just puts you on a whole other level to know that we got to something better. We got the gift of Jesus Christ.
That's pretty cool. Now, I got to ask you, because no sermon is really complete until you can apply it. What does that mean for Muhammad Christian Church, for these folk here, for you and me in 2017? So what?
Well, the funny thing is, we don't have to go any farther than the scriptures we've been in today. All you got to do is go back to Hebrews 10 and start at verse 19 where you left off there. And God tells us that there are four things we're instructed to do with all this, what we're supposed to do with this something better. Let's start there in Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us.
A better way.
Through the curtain. That's right. A better way. That is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, which we just all said is Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed over with pure water. Come near to God. Draw near to God. That's the first thing we got to do. We got to go near Him. We got to go to Him. Draw near here, if you go back to the Greek, and I can't pronounce it, so I'm not, but I'm going to tell you what it means. It means facing God forward, going towards Him. You're not backing up to God here, folks. You're going to God. You're facing forward to God. You're coming to Him with a relationship, with confidence that you can approach Him. That's just
amazing.
Which
was something they didn't have.
They couldn't know.
The priest had to do this for
you.
Even the priest himself, once a year, he had to go in, offer sacrifice for himself before he could offer sacrifice for this. And he says, we have, through this better way, the confidence we can just approach God.
We can approach God. We can have a direct, not through the priest, a direct relationship with God. Isn't that better?
That's better.
Amen, right?
That's better.
That is so much better.
You and I can just approach God.
Yeah. We can. We don't have to settle for a Christian life where this God, our God, is at a long distance from us. We can have a direct relationship with Him. You can draw near at the end of your bed. Every day, you just sit at your bed, draw near to God. Sitting at your desk at work, you can draw near to God. Driving, I have that down. In your car. Some of us need to draw near to God when we're in our cars.
Or in the school bus.
Or in the school bus, yeah.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
At church, of course, you can draw near to God. Even in your prayer room, your prayer place, you know, like Miss Clara did in the movie War Room. You just got to draw near to God. It's not a physical act. It's just you sitting down, taking time to be in a conversation, to be in a place where you can listen for God and what He has to say to you. It's not even telling us here that we need to come forward to the altar to pray. We can pray anywhere. We can draw near anywhere as long as we have what?
Faith.
Faith and a sincere heart. A sincere heart. And it
is that note in the outline?
It's
well, that's what those lines are for. I need to hand that and a sincere
and
heart.
A sincere heart. We need to take heart and come into His presence with a heart.
As opposed to coming with a shopping list.
With a shopping list or fake reasons or whatever to come to Him. Come to Him with an open heart and know that God is going to talk to you and that He is going to hear you.
You know, what you said just hit me so much, because this act of facing forward toward God, drawing toward God, I've learned over the years that the more I try to draw close to God, it means that I'm putting some distance between me and some of my past, some things that I used to enjoy or used to involve my life with, even some people. So drawing near to God may very well mean that I need to put some distance between me and some old friendships or some old ways and things that I used to do, which, by the way, brings us to that second let us.
Yeah, what do we got to do number
two? Let us draw near to God. And then he says there in verse number 23, verse 23, that follows 22, doesn't it? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So we need to hold tightly to the hope. And notice he says that we profess. Mm-hmm. We've come to a point, he says, in our life where we've drawn near to God because we accept that. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and Savior, that his sacrifice is better, his life is better, his will for my life is better. It's just something better in Jesus. Now I've professed that. He says, now live it and hold tight to it, because although I try to put those things behind me, those are the things that keep wanting to draw me back. Yeah. Anybody else struggle with that? Anybody else understand what I'm talking about here?
I do. I'm with you.
So holding tight kind of helps me keep that distance between those things that Satan used to use to get a grip on me and the people that used to just, you know, there are just some people I'm with. I just, you know, I don't say the things I should. Well, y'all don't need to know that. I'm perfect as far as y'all are concerned, you know. But we need to hold tightly to that. We say we believe. We cannot let the ever-changing circumstances change the grip we have on our faith that we profess.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Profess the belief that God is bigger, that God can see us through anything. So when anything comes up, don't let that draw you away from God, but make you hold even tighter to Him.
Amen.
Hold tight to the faith that you profess. Now, some of you have been through some major life changes this last year. Some of you are going through some major life changes right now. And those are the kind of things that can put a wedge in there.
You can.
And you remember when the Israelites were freed from Egypt? 400 years of slavery. And they cried out day after day, night after night, for God to release them, to restore them to their own nation, etc. He did.
Yep.
Well, how long did it take after they crossed the Red Sea to start mama say, I want to go back? It seemed to be better back there. Well, it may have seemed to be, but it wasn't. We need to hold tight. And we need to do the same
thing.
Put
that death grip on it.
So let us hold tight to the hope, unswerving, without wavering. Just get a grip on God and hang on.
That's sometimes you're just hanging by your fingernails.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Sometimes. And something that might help us get a re-grip or better grip on that would be what?
Oh, you're asking me? Or
yeah.
Asking, oh.
What's our next?
Oh, our next step. Well, number three, yeah. Didn't know where he was going with that. That wasn't in the script. Quickly, I want you to look up at a quick video. It may not come out too good on the wall, but listen to the audio on this video here.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world. That will not compromise when under pressure. That will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord. That they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees. Who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle. That we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo.
Now, if that don't motivate you,
yeah.
If that doesn't motivate you, I can't even sit now after that.
Wow.
Look at Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is part three. This is number three, guys. Consider how to motivate each other. How do we motivate each other? Now, I like the word that's used in the NIV there, that word spur. I love that word here, spur. Spur each other on. Yeah, kick the horse. Yeah, some of you might like to put a spur on and motivate one another, huh? Wear a spur, and some of you can, there's some wives that are looking at their husbands right now going, I need a good spur.
Right.
But, you know, a spur is defined to urge a horse forward by digging one's spur into his sides. Well, I think the Bible meant a little more than that, though.
Yeah.
It meant give an incentive or encouragement to someone, cause or promote the development of someone, stimulate them, get them going for Jesus. I mean, the Bible nails it here.
It does.
It nails it here. I'm telling you, this gets me going. Motivation. We're motivated here. We need to lead one another.
How would you like to work with this every day? I mean, this guy motivates you, buddy. He's with it.
And that's what we need to do for one
another.
Yes. Now, I am thankful this church does some motivation around
here.
Yes,
it does.
We motivate each other. When things need done, this church steps up. And maybe you're not directly involved, but when you see someone else getting involved, you want to jump right in. You just want to do it. And it's, we set an example here in this church, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
I am. And we pray every day that never stops or that doesn't end. Because we can get up here, we could give the sermon of all sermons. But what makes a difference to the community and where people see Jesus is watching you guys work together, working with each other through the hard stuff, working through each other with the projects, being there side by side, fighting the devil every day, working together to make God's plan to the world be seen, to shine the light of Jesus. And you guys do that every time we turn around. We talk about it every time. We see the crackpots are here and they're filling backpacks, you know. And it's like, man, I want to go in there and fill a backpack. But then we're outnumbered by all those women and we ain't going in there. You know, Debbie, she was here to do Inform this week, Debbie Frankenbach, about the Operation Christmas Child. She's so passionate about that. That made Pastor David and I want to try to build those boxes. That didn't go too well, but... there's motivation watching all the people show up to help you put this flag up so that we can outreach to more people this coming weekend. It's what we do. Yeah. It's what we do. Diane gets up here and does a skit about something Helping Hands needs next Sunday. Those things are full out there. Why? Because we're motivating each other. We can't do it alone. If we tried to do it alone, I couldn't even imagine going to church and trying to do everything around here alone.
Can you imagine going to church and it just being...
No. Isn't it great to be a part of a church like that?
Amen.
No, I mean, isn't it great to be a part of a church like that? It is. This is what is amazing. And I love this number three. I mean, all four are great. But this is motivating others.
And notice what it says to motivate each other too.
Yep. That was where I was going. Go ahead. Yeah. Say
no,
it.
No,
say
it's
it.
Right there. Love. I love you guys. And believe me, we know you love us. And it's awesome to know you love one another. And the good deeds.
Good deeds.
Good work.
Good deeds.
Doing things for others. You know, trunk or treat. Anybody get baptized that night? But wasn't that wonderful? The kids' hearts you delighted, the families, the spreading of the fact that Muhammad Christian Church is here, buddy. We're here. Oh, love and good deeds. I love you, man.
I love
the
you too.
Peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
No, you name it.
Yeah, we keep that flowing through this church.
Yes,
sure.
We do. Yes, we do.
So that's what it's all about. And I
so love
please
and good deeds.
Don't stop. Always do that. Always. You don't need Pastor and I to do that. We'll get behind you. Don't trust us, but do it. God's got a plan
Absolutely.
For you. Motivate others. And just by being that example or going through the fire with someone, you're going to motivate them on to forward things. It may take some time.
Absolutely.
And they got to get through the hard times, but you being there side by side, that's what we motivate each. It does me good. It does me good.
You know what really excites me about it?
What's that?
Is how many times it's not just throwing money at something.
No, that good point.
It's throwing us
yeah.
at something. At each other and just really pouring our hearts out.
And,
to each
you know
other.
What's funny about all this? This leads perfectly, as if God knew what He was doing. Yeah. And the number four that we
yes,
instructed
it does.
To do.
Verse 25.
Yeah.
He tells us there in verse 25, and let us not give up. This is the only kind of negative mm-hmm. one there. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us, and it goes back to what you just said, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Pastor Jeff, I'm going to preach just a second here. Too many people take this out of context.
Yeah.
And they use that verse to mean, let's not forsake coming to church on Sunday morning.
Correct.
That meeting together, that assembling together, goes far beyond meeting together here on Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but I mean, yesterday morning we were at the men's breakfast. That is an encouragement. I apologize to all the men. I don't get to make every Saturday morning. But there's not a single Saturday morning that I've gone to that it didn't spur me on, motivate me more. And it encourages me to make it more than I have been when I can. Sunday school. The women's study. Oasis. Nothing like getting out from in front of the TV and coming on out here and eating with good Christian friends, going on a good outing with good Christian friends. Half of the trips that we take are not the destination. It's the journey, isn't it? Paul, those of you have been with us. It's just being together.
Yeah.
And you can do that in small groups. Oh my goodness, the encouragement from small groups. From the choir.
Yeah.
Those of you that are in the choir, when you get together, do you just sing like robots and leave and go home? Or is there some fellowship there? You know? Our dinners? Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, they're you legendary know? In there.
They're
own,
legendary
yeah.
in your own thing. You always remember, fellowship is Hebrew for dessert.
Yep.
Okay? And there's nothing encouraging more than sitting down to a good meal with one another. But don't ever give up meeting together. But let me tell you, that may mean you're going to have to rearrange some of your schedule.
Yeah.
It may mean you're going to have to rearrange some friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Things that keep drawing you away. Let's not give up meeting together.
Mm-hmm.
It's that important.
Yeah.
Put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
When our kids were growing up, we always told them if they had friends spending the night on Saturday, we weren't going to get together after dinner and pray about going to church on Sunday. We were going,
mm-hmm.
friends and all.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, did you catch that word you used in there? Habit.
Mm-hmm.
Some are in the habit of not getting together. And it doesn't take but missing 2, 3, 4 times and you're out of the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've created a new habit.
Yeah.
So just don't forsake that. That's one of the best ways in the world. Just get together. Hard to encourage each other if you're not really seeing each other once in a while, talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
sharing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know about you. We probably will wrap this up. Our time's about gone.
Yeah.
I don't know how to give a better invitation than to just simply say, where are you in those four? Let us. Jeff, start with yours. Maybe what you need to be doing, the decision you need to make today is...
Drawing near to God. Maybe it's a first step in saying, I'm ready to commit I'm ready to follow Jesus and come forward today and begin that relationship. Maybe it's as simple as just spending a little extra time in prayer today and starting a habit of drawing near to God. But that is a crucial first step. The other three, you can't even begin to use them. Follow them if you don't draw near to God and let God guide your path. So,
get out of that old work system of trying to do all stuff. It'll always come up short.
Always.
If you can accept that Jesus is the better way, the better sacrifice, the total forgiveness of sin once for all, draw near to God.
Draw near. But what are they can't
and then when you do that, we have to encourage you to hold tight.
Hold tight
because it's not going to be all roses.
No.
It's not going to, as some people think, if I give my life to Jesus, all my problems are going to go away and He's going to answer my every prayer, the desire of my heart. And that's not always going to happen that way.
No.
The devil will do everything he can to push you back. So you just hold tight. Maybe your decision today is, I need to get a tighter grip on my face and on my walk with Christ.
You know, you say that, something just hit me. There's also a scene in War Room where the family decides to stay together and not get divorced and not fall apart. And they renew their marriage. And Miss Clara gets the news, man, and she is excited. Mm-hmm. And she's holding tight to that faith, to that hope, I mean. And first thing she says is, devil, you just got your butt kicked.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with celebrating our victories with God and letting the devil know where his place is.
Amen.
And she ends it with saying, and you can't fire Jesus, devil, and he ain't ever going to retire.
Oh, that's good.
So there's nothing wrong. When you're holding on tightly, celebrate those victories. That'll help you hold on tighter.
Yeah.
When it's hard, when the struggles are there, because you can remember the victories that God did get you through.
And if you start losing your grip once in a while, maybe you need
some motivation.
Yeah.
Help. You need help. Reach out. And that's where we come in. We have to help each other. It might be prayer. It might simply just be some prayer. Yeah. It might be reaching out and saying, let's go to lunch. Let's have a sit-down talk. It might be as simple as a hug. As a hug. I'm telling you what, when Tiana came home, there was not the best thing about that was that first hug. That meant everything. So it doesn't mean you have to, it's not like you have to sit there and quote scriptures to one another. That may not be what it's about. But it's about being there for each other, setting the example, working through it together. And that will motivate us on to
meeting together. Hey, you know, they just released a bunch of the JFK papers.
Yes, they did.
I still don't think we're going to know what happened.
No.
But having said that, it reminded me of one of the most famous quotes he ever said.
Yeah.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Maybe it's time for us to say, ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. Your church being not just this building.
No.
Or this is your church.
Yeah.
What can you do for one another? And one of the best ways to do that is just commit yourself this morning saying, I'm going to meet together. I want a church home like this.
Yes.
I want to put my faith in action at a place like this.
Amen.
But you know, whatever your decision is this morning, let us make that decision today. Father God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. Indeed, your plan is a better plan. Your sacrifice through Jesus is a better sacrifice than bulls and goats. Your plan for our daily life is so much better than us just struggling on with our own power and dreams and plans and sometimes pretty sad attempts at putting pieces back together. So this morning, Father, help us to begin right there at number one. Let us draw near to you. Help us to realize, Father, that if we feel far from you, we're the ones who moved. As we draw nearer to you, maybe we need to just hold tight, recommit our lives to get a better grip on our faith and living for Jesus. Maybe we need to just look around and think about others a little more and see the needs that are right before us, not only in this church family, but especially to those of the household of faith. You want us to do good to all men. Rather, it's taking a picture with a kid at trunk or treat and giving them a hug or helping someone move. Whatever it is, Father, help us to just motivate each other. And thank you for this wonderful church home we have. Help us to be the most welcoming church anybody has ever sought. And let them end their search for a church that will seek to serve you and each other Thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.